It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We are live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. We've got a really, really good show lined up for you today. Brad Sweet is going to join us here. Three-time World of Outlaw champion is going to join us. He's got 75 career World of Outlaw wins. We'll be talking to Brad Sweet about everything that's going on with him. We'll talk about the High Limit Series as well here on Mostly Motorsports. Looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to tonight's action. Also, we're going to have Trenton Barry on a little bit later. We're going to talk to Trenton, kind of going to put a bow on last weekend's USRA Nationals down at Lucas Oil Speedway. So we'll talk to him a little bit later in the show. So we got a lot going on here today. Flow Racing Night in America is going to happen tonight at 411 Speedway in Tennessee. So I'm looking forward to watching that tonight. Austin, how you doing today, bud? How you doing? Everything all right? Everything good?
Oh, Same issue we're having yesterday. Doing great.
Yep, doing great. You sound so enthused about everything.
Well, I was more going to be more enthused, so I had to press my button four times to get my microphone to turn on.
Well, listen, you know, I bought some spray over there, and we've never put it on there, right? Some electrical spray to fix that button, but nobody's ever taken a chance and putting it on there. I went out and bought it, but we just haven't put it on there yet. So we'll try to do that a little bit later today. Brad Sweet's going to join us today on the show. What are some of the things that are more the most intriguing to you to talk about with Brad Sweet? What are the things? I think talking about the High Limit Series that they're going to have is one of the big deals. He's got 75 wins this year. He's only got 5 wins with the World of Outlaws. I think he had, 13 last year, wasn't it, Austin?
Yeah, I was well into the double digits.
Yeah. So he won at River City, Peavey, Sharon Speedway, Williams Grove, and Votto Speedway this year. He's a 3-time World of Outlaw champion. He's won 75 races. What is some of the questions that I should ask? Do you have something that maybe you want me to ask him?
Well, I think everybody knows Brad's past 3-4 years. Everybody knows just about anything that's happened in that time frame. But, you know, what a lot of people I feel like don't know about Brad is Brad wasn't a wing guy until like 2013, 2014. Brad was, he was big into the non-wing scene, and he ran some of Casey Kane's non-wing cars with USAC for at the end of like the 2000, you know, 10 area. You know, he had a sponsorship with Red Bull for quite some time, and you know, it kind of opened some doors to go to NASCAR. So to hear kind of what maybe fell apart and got him back into wing racing, or what that time was like, you know, he ran USAC, because like I said, he wasn't a wing guy for, you know, his whole career.
A long time.
You know, maybe ran some wing stuff back in California, but moved to the Midwest, and he went straight USAC racing, and then he made some starts in NASCAR. Then, like I said, he came over here to Casey Kane's, you know, full-time, you know, outlaw team. But yeah, that kind of intrigues me about, you know, what his career path, you know, looked like.
Yeah, Port Royal wasn't too good to him last weekend, was it? He ran ninth on the first night, and he ran 13th on the first night, and ninth on the second night. Not a very good Port Royal weekend for him, was it?
No, it allowed Gravel to kind of close in the points lead a little bit. I think at some point here in the past couple of weeks, it was maybe up to 80 to 90 points ahead of David Gravel. Now it's down to about
66.
Yeah, 66. And yeah. And we're running out of races, and we have, you know, 2 this weekend, National Open to finish up. And then I think it goes straight to, you know, the World Finals. So, and the World Finals have like a split format this year. So we're not racing all 3 nights like we have been in the past. So it's going to take a lot of those bad finishes for Brad these next couple of races. But,
right,
you know, Brad's done this thing 3 times, and he's about to do it for a 4th. And he knows knows right where he needs to be, and it's going to be just like it was the past 3 years.
So we've got the World of Outlaws Friday night at I-80 up there in Greenwood, Nebraska, Lakeside Speedway right here in Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas, I should say, over in the Dot on Saturday night. And then they've got the Williams Grove at Mechanicsburg, PA, the Champions Racing Oil National Open. They've got that on October 22nd. And then they're going to wrap up with the World Finals down at Charlotte at the dirt track. They got three nights of action down there as well. So there's still a chance that he could lose this championship, isn't there? There is an opportunity there to kind of get in there and win this deal, isn't there? Don't you think?
There's a possibility, but it's going to take Gravel winning or in the top three every night and Brad being like 15th, 20th range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to try and pull up the points and see, or the rules and see what, how many points you can gain in a feature with the Outlaws.
I'm not sure how many points you can gain, but 66 points is close enough, I would think, to be able to have a chance. David Gravel, currently second in the World of Outlaw points, 66 points out. He's 63 starts this year, as Brad Sweet has. He's got 36 top fives and 55 top tens. Almost a mirror image, if you look at it, between Brad Sweet and David Gravel. Again, David Gravel is only 66 points out, but out of the 63 races, Brad Sweet has 5 wins. David Gravel has 6. Both of them have 36 top fives. And in fact, David Gravel has one more top 10 finish than Brad Sweet. He's got 55 versus Brad's 54. That's almost a mirror image of each other, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close. But I mean, you can have, you know, a couple different, you know, maybe he has 2 top tens more than you, or you have the same amount of top tens, but there's 5 spots in that top 10, you know, that add into your points. So, even though you might have the same stats like that, I mean, there's still mm-hmm. a lot of variation of where you finish in those brackets.
It seems to me that Carson Macedo is the guy that is. Listen, if he could have just been a little more consistent, out of top 10s, he's got 49 versus Brad Sweet's 54, and he's got 34 top 5s, but 11 wins in 63 starts. He's 134 points out of the lead. Do you think those top 10s has came into play? And you think that's what's really cost Carson Macedo not being consistent right there, because he's got 49 versus Brad Sweet's 54. What do you think?
Well, that definitely has an effect on it. But also, there's a couple times this year that Carson's maybe had a top 5 car that he gave it away. He crashed or got caught up in somebody else's mess, or he was, you know, light at the skills at Williams Grove early in the season. And,
right,
you know, that's a big blow, and that's hard to get.
He lost all the points that night.
Yeah, right. Or just for the feature. And it's just, yeah, that's tough to overcome. But mm-hmm. you can chip away at it. But there was just a handful of races that, you know, maybe Carson, you know, maybe could have settled for, you know, a decent top 10 finish and maybe chanced it and lost a couple spots, or just, you know, bad luck got him.
Yeah, I think Sheldon Hodgshield would be right in the play of that thing too, but how many times have we seen Sheldon's crew have to replace a front axle this year? How many times have we seen that, Austin? We've seen it many times, haven't we?
I wouldn't just call it a front axle, just a visit to the work area, and that's yeah, quite a few times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So anyway, this weekend is going to be a great weekend for the people here in the Midwest, be able to go up to I-80 up in Greenwood, Nebraska. You're going to be up there this weekend, aren't you?
That is my plan. I'm going to leave Thursday evening and be at I-80 Friday all day, and then I'll be at Lakeside all day.
Who are you going to be helping up there?
I have to. So when I went and raced 2 weekends ago now, I had Riley Chrysler come help me, and my budget isn't allowing or isn't big enough to come hire somebody to come work for me or pay my crew.
Right.
As much as everybody would like that to happen, I just it hasn't worked out for me yet. And I feel like I owe Riley some help or repay him for his time coming and helping me. So I'm going to spend the weekend with him and go run two outlaw shows for the end of the year.
How many races has Riley run with the World of Outlaws? Do you know?
It's probably less than five.
Probably down at the lake, right? Lakeside Speedway. Is he going to run? Is he going to run Saturday night at Lakeside as well?
Yeah, we're going to do. We're going to leave after the races Thursday, Friday night, and drive down to Kansas City and stay, and then do maintenance all day Saturday. So, he's ran Lakeside a couple times in the past with his non-wing car with just a wing on it. I think he might have ran, you know, a couple shows this year at the lake. And besides that, I mean, he's probably ran maybe a total of five, you know, outlaw shows in his career.
Yeah. Well, he's a pretty good shoe, isn't he? He's not too bad.
Yeah, no, Riley's really shown a lot of improvement. You know, he went and ran. He's been with War and the non-wing scene for about 6 years now, and he went back-to-back on championships, and it was 20. No, I think he went three times, 19, 20, and 21. Mm. And he's kind of dominated the non-wing side around this area, and he's kind of made the final step to go wing racing and challenge himself again, and he's excelled at it this year. And from the limited schedule that he's ran, he's had really good runs. He should have had a top three, top five at the fair, and we had a tire go down. Kind of a bad luck deal. And he had some really good runs with the All-Stars this year at the lake when they came down in the summer. And he's not racing against like a local car count. He's racing against, you know, the All-Stars and Power Eye Series and now with the Outlaws. So he's racing against a lot of good competition, and he's having good finishes. So I think if he gets some more experience under his belt, he'll be definitely a good contender for next year.
He doesn't have a lot of he's been a non-wing guy pretty much for the most part, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he started driving for Rick Smith in like 2014, 2015.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a talented driver. He just needs a little more wing time, right?
You can't go out and set the world on fire and a dozen starts. Trust me, I know. It takes you know, about 3 or 4 years of running 25 to 40 races before you get really good.
Right, yeah, no doubt about it. Marie, we are so glad that you are listening to the show today. I know you've been working, and it's hard for you to listen at work. But she said, Sheldon needs better starting positions and top five finishes. I would agree with that 100%. How about you, Austin?
Yeah, if you don't get qualified in, you're going to miss the dash. And at that point, you're missing the dash and starting behind the dash cars, and there's usually 6 to 8 of them, and you know all the fast cars are in the dash, and you're not gonna. You can drive up through the field, but you know against that competition, it's gonna be tough. And I just feel like Sheldon's driving style is checkers or wreckers, and if he's not driving to the front, he's hung it up in the fence, and that's just a factor of him trying too hard to get back to the front.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd rather have a driver that is kind of wide open, because you can always try to reel them in. You know, what's the old saying? You know, back in the day, people used to say that I'd rather be able to calm a driver down than try to have to kick him in the ass and get him to go, right? Because that's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to get a driver pumped up and want to get elbows up, but I would rather have a driver that I'd have to calm down a little bit. That's just me personally. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd rather try and calm somebody down, because you'll never, if they're you know, slow and you're trying to speed them up, you'll never break their pace. They're always going to do what they want to do, and if you're trying to calm them down, at least you're ahead of the game, and you're trying to back up to the game. I kind of feel like there, and I don't know. I just, there's times being, you know, really aggressive and fast and all that's will benefit you, but it will bite you more than it will help you.
Yeah, no doubt. Caleb says, rather pull the reins back than have to be able to push them to go harder. I'm with you 100% there, Caleb. Has Sheldon had the most hard charger awards this year? Do we know?
Can
you look that up real quick for us and try to find that out? Because he's had to start at the back of the field several times, and I know that he's worked his way up through the field several times, and we'll see if Austin can find out who the hard charger, the leader in hard charger awards is this year with the World of Outlaws. Can't wait to talk to Brad Sweet. I'm really looking forward to talking to him about Lakeside and I-80 this weekend and the High Limit Series that him and Kyle Larson have put together. Looking forward to talking about that. You know, he picked up that $20,000 to win up there at Williams Grove, and he's had some pretty good nights this year, but last weekend wasn't the weekend for him. Also, I want to know what kind of owner Casey Kane is. That's another thing I want to ask him. Just kind of, what is Casey Kane like as a boss or as a person that leads both teams? And I wonder what it's like to have Casey out there running full time with World of Outlaws as well. Did you find anything there, Austin?
Yeah, he has 10 hard chargers, which is leading over Slogan Shuhart, who has 7, Donnie Schatz and Noah Gass have 4, Gravel and Macedo have 3, McFadden, Jacob Allen, Brock Searfoss, Anthony Macri have 2, and then there's a big list of guys who have 1 hard charger award.
So he is the leader with 10. And who'd you say was 2nd with 7?
Logan Shuhart.
Logan Shuhart. Are you surprised by that at all?
No.
No?
I figured maybe Jacob Allen would have more hard charger awards, just because, I mean, I feel like him and Sheldon are close and not qualifying well, mm-hmm. and always starting, you know, behind the ball and in the features, and always having to drive from at least, you know, 16th to the 20th range to the front. And we've seen, you know, Jacob do that a handful of times here in the since California, the California trip. And he did that a couple times here back on the East Coast. And I figured he would have more, you know, after doing that. But I guess Sheldon did that a lot better than he did.
That is why Logan and Sheldon are behind in the points battle. I think the biggest thing, the most important thing about being with the World of Outlaws is consistency. Because if I remember right, last year, Brad averaged somewhere around a 5th place finish every night. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to be seriously committed to being consistent. It's not all about the wins, obviously, as Brad has proven this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to win some races, and he's shown this year that you don't have to win all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, even winning one back at Vado, up from the Dirt Car Nationals in Florida to Vado, he had a pretty good points lead, and he actually was surprising a lot of people that he even had the points lead, because he hadn't won a race to that point, and that he wins at Vado, and then he goes on a dry spell, I think, until maybe Peevely again. So, yeah, he shows that he can do it. But, you know, I think something in that team changed a little bit this year to where they don't have that raw speed again that they had, like, last year. And but they still have enough speed to be consistently in the top 5. And that's, you know, what it takes. Because not everybody – there's nobody that goes out there and wins every race. Everybody has good nights and everybody has bad nights. And Brad's just had more good nights than bad nights compared to everybody else.
How many drivers have won the championship 4 years in a row? Do we know? Steve Kinzer probably obviously
Steve,
did, right?
Donnie
probably, yeah. Is anybody else?
That might be it. I mean, I can look.
Yeah. Well, anyway, why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and take our break right now? That way we can get Brad Sweet on. We're going to take a break. Today's show is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. More of Mostly Motorsports in a moment when we return right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery, we do some vinyl, the other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is three-time World of Outlaw champion Brad Sweet. Brad, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, it's a big weekend for the folks here in Kansas City. I know that you're going to be racing up at I-80 on Friday night and Lakeside on Saturday night. It's kind of sad to hear about I-80 going away, isn't it?
Yeah, you never want to lose a racetrack, you know, especially one that's, you know, put on so many great races over the years. And I really always enjoyed going there. Love the area, you know, Omaha to the Lincoln area. Got a good friend, Phil Durst, always nice to go visit him there. And, and that's kind of his home track, so. Yeah, very unfortunate, but we're going to try to go out in style, and I've been fortunate enough to win there once, and you know, hopefully we can put on one last good show there.
You know, it's kind of sad. We hear about Grandview going away, I-80 going away, Little Rock, we know it's going away. And there's rumors that Devil's Bowl might be going away. Man, that's quite a blow. Those are four major racetracks right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising. You know, I think just obviously land values and the way, you know, communities either creep towards the land or a business wants the land or, you know, I've been told Devil's Bowl's, you know, potentially warehouses.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I think there's just, yeah, I mean, either we need to figure out how to get the racetracks to make more money so that they don't, you know, sell it the first chance they get, or, you know, it's just it's a tough business, you know, to be honest. I obviously have dipped my toe in a little bit out here at Silver Dollar Speedway, so I can kind of understand, you know, if someone, you know, wanted to buy the property for a large amount of money. It takes a long time at a racetrack to make that type of money, but very sad on our end. You know, of course we all are very passionate about the sport we all love, and we never want to lose, you know, racetracks, especially historical racetracks that have been, you know, so good for so many years.
As a promoter yourself, what do you think is the most important thing about promoting races? To me, it seems like promoters aren't as active as they used to be, because back in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up and watching racing, you saw a lot of ads on television, you saw a lot of articles in the local newspapers. We just don't see that anymore, do we?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I'll be very honest, you know, marketing, you know, TV and radio used to be the only source of you know, the way to, there was no social media, and, you know, everybody had, you know, the 12 to 15 channels on their TV that, right. You know, pretty much everybody was watching the same channel most of the time. And, you know, radio was simple. There wasn't, all these different ways to listen to the radio that there are nowadays. So, you know, working with ad agencies and things, they point out, you know, when you do put ads on TV, there's, you know, everybody has hundreds of channels now, and you know, you're certainly just shooting, you know, just shooting off the hip kind of when you do a TV commercial. You know, it's not necessarily maybe the audience that's coming to your racetrack watching,
right,
watching those certain TV channels. So you can waste a lot of money. TV's really expensive in a lot of markets, and radio's, you know, fairly expensive, and you could literally not be hitting any target audience at all. So,
right,
you know, it's very targeted now. It's very Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, TikTok, all those types of things. Everybody has it, and you're able to target more on people that show interest in racing or dirt tracks or, you know, NASCAR or whatever it may be.
Right.
You can kind of target towards that audience and then get ads, you know, in front of them. You know, that's kind of the most bang for your buck, but, you know, it's just a changing society. You know, there's a lot of different things going on in the world, and, you know, a lot of, you know, different entertainment, and,
right,
you know, sprint car racing is, you know, seems like it's doing really well, but it's still a niche sport, and, you know, still, you got to still have a good weather and a good audience, you know, a place that people, you know, follow sprint car racing, and, mm-hmm, you know, it's just not that easy.
Yeah.
You may get, you know, 2-3 big events in the whole season, and then you might spend, you know, another, you know, however many days at the racetrack and not make a dollar. So it's a tough business, and I certainly understand, you know, why we lose tracks at times.
What can we do, and maybe you can answer this better than anybody that I know, what can we do to get young – we've got plenty of young people that want to drive race cars, right, sprint cars, open-wheel cars. We've got plenty of those people. How do we get young people back involved in open-wheel racing? I just don't know how we pull people, young people, back in. Do you got an idea on that?
It's tough. I think certainly once you get them to the track, they are more interested. You know, so getting them out to the track. You know, I think putting on quality shows more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what happens a lot of times is some of these local tracks, it's kind of easy to get a bad taste in your mouth. You know, you go out there and there's six classes and it goes on all night. So, you know, I just think the new generation is, if they're not highly entertained in a short amount of time,
right,
you can lose their attention pretty quick. So,
yeah.
We really strive at Silver Dollar to have every one of our races done by 9:45. You know, I think sprint car racing as a whole is going to have to look at, you know, condensing their programs a little bit. I think they're going to have to look at, you know, the instead of having 2-3 support classes, I think we need to look at alternate types of, you know, ways to entertain the fans in between, you know, the downtime. And maybe it needs to be a little more exciting. You know, and then also figure out how we can create, you know, some sort of connection, you know, to the drivers, to the young people, you know. Obviously, sprint car racing, they can get in the pits pretty easily. But, you know, whether it's YouTube channels, which, you know, you're starting to see it more and more with the younger drivers, you know, starting to do these YouTube channels. And, you know, maybe it'll take a Netflix type, you know, series like what happened with F1 to really, like, kind of make it a little more mainstream so that young people can kind of see it and grab a hold of it and realize, you know, that it's pretty cool. Sprint car racing is a great form of racing.
Yeah, we're visiting with 3-time World of Outlaw champion Brad Sweet. Was there any anxiety when you guys first started talking about doing the High Limit series, you and Kyle? Was there any anxiety there going into that, do you think?
A little bit on my end. I mean, Kyle, obviously, you know, he just wants to, you know, try to grow sprint car racing and try to, you know, use his likeness to help, you know, all us sprint car drivers as much as possible. And, you know, from my standpoint, obviously, being a World of Outlaw driver, you know, starting an alternate series wasn't really on my radar, you know, so that's why I kind of made sure I'd, you know, trying to get the message out that we're not really trying to compete with the World of Outlaws or hurt the World of Outlaws or anything like that. So, you know, it's 12 midweek races. I think it's very manageable, and I think it can fit into the whole ecosystem of sprint car racing pretty well. And, you know, to get sprint car racers bigger paydays, and especially in the middle of the week when we're usually not doing anything, to go out and race for, you know, $23,000 to win, you know, or some $50,000 to win races, I think pretty dang cool that we're able to kind of do that. And I'm really looking forward to putting on some really cool, fun races next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's talk about your season so far. You've got a 66-point lead over David Gravel right now. You've had a pretty steady season. You won at Valdo. You won at Williams Grove, Sharon Speedway, Peavely, River City, I believe it was, as well. Talk about your season so far this year. Are you satisfied? I know you're leading the points, so you got to be a little bit satisfied right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been a great season. It just, you know, things just haven't been as good as what we're used to. You know, the wind calms down and, you know, things like that. So kind of the last straws, you know, obviously to win the championship would make that feel a little bit better of a season. And, you know, so that's the goal now is 6 races left, try to put our heads down and finish as strong as possible. And obviously try to get some more wins. You know, we didn't win any of the big races. We didn't, you know, have a great Knoxville Nationals. We, you know, got a flat tire at the Kings Royal. You know, just kind of unfortunate, you know, just haven't been able to put anything great together this season. But, you know, it's tough out there right now. There's a lot of competition, and, you know, we've had a lot of great years. And, you know, sometimes you have to go through a little bit of struggles to get a little stronger. So, you know, our heads are down right now, and we're focused on these last 6 races. We're focused on, you know, kind of one race at a time. And obviously, really enjoy going to Lakeside and I-80. So kind of looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to take you back a little bit to that win at Williams Grove. You raced there 53 times before you got your first win. That had to be pretty special to you, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I got to a point I just, you know, part of my career I didn't like going there because I just struggled so bad. And, you know, now we've kind of found some stuff, and I figured some stuff out with my driving, and we got the car better. And, you know, when you win, gives you a whole new, you know, added confidence at a racetrack. So I felt really good about that. And, you know, it's just one of those things in your career as you, you know, start to progress, you just think, man, I don't ever want to get conquered by a track. You know, you always want to at least conquer it once. And so I felt really good to just be able to check that off the list. You know, everybody always said, well, you're just not good there, I guess, you know. And so now I want to race there. And it was the Summer Nationals and against all the best guys. So, you know, it just feels like a little bit of a relief, to be honest, more than anything. And, you know, still got one more big one this year. So kind of looking forward to going back there.
Yeah. Again, we're visiting with three-time World of Outlaw champion Brad Sweet. He's joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We want to thank them for being great sponsors. I want to ask you, what is it like to drive for Casey? Just kind of give me a little insight. And how's it been with him traveling up and down with you on the road this year?
Yeah, I mean, Casey's obviously been a great car owner for a lot of years. Just, gives us everything we need and works, he's just very passionate about sprint car racing, obviously still driving himself. So, when your owner's driving, he really understands the struggles, and what it takes to go up and down the road and, what it's like to have good and bad nights. So if anything, I think it's just been fun to see him out here, racing and smiling and trying hard. And it's a brutal sport. So he doesn't put a lot of pressure on us or anything. I think if anything, he's proud of what we've been able to accomplish. And, he just kind of races, and now we just work together on our setups and talk racing. And, he's been a great car owner, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's really improved this year as a driver, it seems like. I can't remember what race he led a lot of laps, and he almost won that one race. I can't remember where it was at. But he's really improved as a driver this year, hadn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's anything. You have to put the time in, and
right.
Sprint car racing is no different. And you got to be doing it a lot night in, night out, especially if you want to compete at the highest level. And, and I think he knows that, and that's why he's trying. He was going to put a rookie campaign together, and, just unfortunate, took a few hits this year and just, took a little break to let his body heal. And but he's still racing, still finishing the season strong, and definitely getting better every time. And, it's not an easy sport, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think, everybody kind of knows that. It's hard to win at the highest level. It's hard to be competitive at the highest level. And, it sure just knocks you down sometimes. And, it's just a tough sport, but he's doing a good job. And, like you said, you can definitely see his improvement for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I traveled with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years doing their live broadcast with them on Racing Boys. And it seems to me that right now we are in a transition of people wanting to migrate towards 410 racing. Do you sense the feeling that 410 racing is making I hate to say it, but a little bit of a comeback compared to previous years? I think it's get a resurgence right now. Do you agree with that a little bit?
Yeah. I think there's a few different reasons why. I think all the big races, obviously are 410 races and, highest paying. And, so 360s was always meant to be a transitional, more of a beginner series. Well, then it kind of turned, the ASCS national thing became very competitive, and there was very great teams and great drivers, and but it was a lot cheaper still to race a 360.
Mm-hmm.
And 410 racing, I think, has figured out over the last number of years to get the engine costs, so you can get 15 to 20 races out of an engine now, and parts aren't that hard to get. And when you blow a 360 up, the block's basically junk. A 410, you can, kind of work on, you can kind of fix things easier on it.
Right.
So I think cost is one reason why. I think 410 and 360 racing just pretty much leveled off. I don't think one's way cheaper. And I think 360s race for smaller purses in front of smaller crowds. And I think drivers are just looking at that thinking that they'd rather race for a little bit bigger money. And, they're not going to spend a whole lot more to own a 410. So
yeah.
I think there's some of those reasons, and obviously I think the ASCS National Tour, I don't know a whole lot about it, so I don't want to say it's not in great shape, but you don't hear about it as much as you once did. So I think it's just people are migrating towards 410s, like you said.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's why I'm back here doing these podcasts every day here on Racing Boys. And it's just, to me, and I hate to say this, because as a guy that put his blood, sweat, and tear in for 13 years traveling up and down the road with the ASCS National Tour, the star power is just not there. The stars are in the World of Outlaws. That's where, if you want to see the best of the very best, you got to go see a World of Outlaw race, right?
Exactly. And I think that's just, and I think, streaming you know, now I think honestly streaming is probably, you know, people are just more in tune with what's going on with the world of Outlaws because they're watching them night in and night out, you know, and it's just super great racing. It's super competitive. You don't know who's going to win. You know, it's just good points battles. And, you know, you're watching guys race for 100,000 to win at Houston. It's 175,000 at Eldora, you know, 175,000 at Knoxville. You're watching all this stuff and it's definitely elevated, you know, the world of Outlaws and, you know, the elite group of drivers. And I think just teams just want to go that direction. And obviously fans, you know, you see it at our World of Outlaw races. We sell out, you know, most every race we go to.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I want to ask your thoughts about Lakeside Speedway. It's a racetrack that I raced at for many years. It was a pavement track back when I raced out there, but now it's dirt. It was dirt starting in 2000. Talk about Lakeside Speedway a little bit and the dynamic of that racetrack and your thoughts about it, that place.
Yeah, I honestly love Lakeside. I won a non-wing race there, the Ron Schumann Classic, way back in 2006, maybe. And then I've been fortunate enough to win a World of Outlaw race there in 2015 or so. So, I mean, it's maybe, yeah, 2015 or 16. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed going to Lakeside. I love the area. I got some friends in Kansas City, so always enjoy being around that area. Enjoy the racetrack, obviously. You know, I've been there when it's a little bit flooded, but the weather looks good.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, the shape's good. The size of it, you know, it's a half mile, but it doesn't race like a big half mile. It's it races, you know, a little more like a smaller half mile. And so, yeah, just enjoy it when it gets wide and slick. Turn two gets slick and tricky, and you know, a lot of times you can be right up by the wall, and or you can be right down on the tires. But it gets slick. That place gets pretty slippery on the straightaways. So
yeah,
but yeah, always enjoyed Lakeside, and you know, looking forward to getting back there.
Are you concerned at all that David Gravel is now within 66 points of the lead right now in the points lead? Are you concerned about that at all?
Well, I mean, obviously you want as big a point lead as you can ever have. You'd like,
sure,
you know, you'd like to just be sealed up. I mean, that would be lying if I said anything different, but you know, I guess, you know, I've been doing this for a while and, you know, right, have won three in a row. So yeah. I think I've been in much worse positions at this point. You know, I was 2 points ahead going into, or 4 points ahead going into the world finals with Donnie, you know, my first championship. And I think at this point, my second championship, I think I was, you know, dang near tied with Logan Schuchart. And last year was a little easier. We kind of had a, you know, a little bigger lead at this point, but you know, I just take it one night at a time. And if it's, you know, we give it our best effort every night that we go to the racetrack. And you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And if, you know, if it's not, it's not. And that's, yeah, that's all you can do at this point is just try your absolute hardest and make sure you're prepared and the team's prepared. And we go there and we try to win the race just like any other night.
Right. And finally, before I let you go, I want to say that if you're going to run for a World of Outlaw championship, you need to average around a fifth place finish. I think your average last year was 5 points something. That's really important, isn't it, to be consistent all year long?
Yeah, you just, you know, you got to have the, you know, the good nights are great, but it's the bad nights, you know, trying to get the most out of them. You know, when your, yeah, car's not right, or, you know, something's not right, or you get in a fender bender, you know, you get my team, you know, has been able to get me back on the track and salvage a 13th or an 11th, or, you know, instead of a 24th or whatever. So,
right,
you know, there's been some, those are, I think, what, you know, kind of drive a championship team is just, you know, being consistent and, you know, not getting themselves in too much trouble. And I think my team's done a great job of that. So
yeah,
I think we just go do what we've always done and, you know, focus each night. I think we'll be just fine.
All right, Brad, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports on Racing Boys. We appreciate it. Good luck to you this weekend at I-80 and at Lakeside Speedway.
Okay, yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, there you have it, Brad Sweet. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to thank Brad Sweet for joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. That was a pretty intriguing interview. A lot of good things came out of that interview. So joining us now is co-owner of RacingDirt.com. They did the broadcast down at Wheatland, Missouri last weekend of the USRA Nationals. Trenton Barry joins us now. Trenton, how you doing?
Hey, good, man. How you doing?
Are you caught up? Have you caught your wind since last weekend? That was a pretty tough grind last week, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, so I kind of have. I got a lot going on. We were a little shorthanded at the wife's coffee shop this morning, so I was just refilling a very nice lady's cup of water there before I got on with you. So got my way to the back storeroom now. But
coffee. Tell me about the coffee shop a little bit there, Trenton, before we move forward.
Yeah, so it was just kind of an endeavor my wife and I wanted to pursue. You know, we're way into coffee and still are. You know, she and I aren't quite what the typical coffee people are. I don't feel like I kind of thought we were, but man, we sell a whole lot more like sugared and flavored lattes and drinks with lots of syrups and milks, and those are great, right? And I enjoy those just like everybody else, but I really enjoy just a quality sourced single origin black coffee. And there's a big difference between really, really good coffee and just kind of like run-of-the-mill stuff you'd get off the shelf everywhere. And we just kind of wanted to explore that avenue, and she was kind of looking for something else, and we were kind of looking for our next thing. You know, we moved about a year ago back up to closer to where she and I grew up from, and it just kind of presented itself, and we've been going ever since. So some days in here are busier than others, and some days I'm around, and today I needed to be around.
Hey, I don't know if you know it, but Seth Bergman has three coffee spots in Tulsa, in Osawatomie, I guess it is, and he's getting ready to open his fourth right now. So
it's pretty interesting. You know, we operate in a town of 3,000 people in Buffalo, Missouri. It's about half an hour north of Springfield, and it's about half an hour south of where we moved to, about half an hour from Lucas Oil Speedway, roughly, just a shade over half an hour. So it's been fun. We don't roast our own coffee. We've looked into it. We have a great local roaster that does a whole lot of stuff for us and services machines and does a lot more than just coffee. Everybody in coffee, but you kind of need that guy, or you kind of need that company behind you to keep you genning along. Man, this Copper Canyon we work with has kind of been that for us. And so then, like my Tuesdays, my man Art Haynes is down, Scott. How much I think of him. And he does that afternoon radio show and was the voice of Missouri State Bears and Chiefs pre- and post-game host. And Shane Freebie and I have been, along with his co-host Wyatt Wheeler that works at the Springfield News Leader, that's in the sports department there. We've been filling in. They kind of took days on his show. You know, it's 5 days a week, 4 to 6. And I told the program director that when he called that Tuesdays was probably my best day. And so Shane and I are doing that as well, kind of in the interim here till our man gets back up on his feet and rolling along again. So my Tuesdays have become pretty chaotic.
Yeah. Well,
to be totally honest with you.
We hope the best for him. That's all I can say about that. Hey, before we get into the USRA Nationals, I got to ask you about that Chiefs game last night. What'd you think about that?
Oh, well, I kind of lived and died with every play. I mean, it never,
right.
never really got a chance to breathe. So I don't like those games, first off. And you know,
too close
for me to say, all right, idiot, you won. How do you not like it? I don't like those games like that. And we've seen a lot of these where, you know, in the Marty Schottenheimer days, you get down 17-0, you might as well just figure out what you're going to do with them. In the case of last night, what you're going to do with the rest of the evening, right? Like you can be done by 8:15, 8:30. Like, all right, well, I got another hour for bed here. Let's see what else is on TV. But you can never do that with Patrick, right? So
right.
I mean, we've learned that. And last night was another example of that, but I sure like those games against the Buccaneers a whole lot more than I
had to
watch last night. But you don't ever take a win away. They found a way to get it done. So
yeah, what did you think of that Chris Jones sack? Do you think that was a raw deal right there?
Well, so I've been again working on this show for the past month, and I was just telling you about it. I've been pretty outspoken that I am for the protection of the quarterback, right? Jeffers had a pool post game interview last night, and that those transcripts were out and surmised into all sorts of numbers of stories, right? And I don't hate the call in the moment, because it's the only rule in the rule book that says you have to err on the side of caution and that advises the rule, the officials, that if they're not sure to go that way, right, to call it. Like 50-50, you call it.
Right.
And that was the only rule in the rule book that's that way. So I don't fault them for that. Where the problem is it just needs to be able to be reviewed.
That's the case. But listen, that was a sack last night. That was not roughing the quarterback. The quarterback, Chris Jones had his arm down to try to keep his weight off of him when he hit the ground. And I think it was a bullshit call, if you want to know the truth.
Well, and you know, so I can't really just sit there and say that after what I'd went on the record for the past month saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but what I will say is, had they had the chance to review it, they would have got it right, and they would have realized. And so much so that, I mean, he had the ball in his right arm going down, but behind Carr. So
that would have changed the dynamic of the game right there if that fumble would have happened and he would have picked it up. We probably would have went down and scored right there, and the game would have been over, right?
100%. I'll say this too. We've got to have our man Harrison Butker back to kick.
No
good
doubt.
Grief. Special teams is just a circus right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I think too.
You know, the Chiefs went for two there late, and they wound up and didn't get it, and ultimately it didn't matter. But it kind of looked like for a minute that, you know, that was kind of a weird spot. I felt like to go for two, but then I got to thinking, you know, that was right after he missed the field goal, so maybe they were low on confidence.
I thought that was a bad call to go for two, didn't you?
Well, other than they had just missed the field goal from about the same distance, so.
Well,
you know, if they're thinking, hey, we don't have any confidence in the kicker, then I mean, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I don't know, and I didn't hear the outcome of what they were thinking. I don't know if they would even comment on something. They're probably sure not going to comment on that while the guy's still on the roster. You know,
no doubt about it.
I don't really know what they do. If we have to have special teams points right now, my confidence level is about 15%.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's talk a little bit about the 19th annual Summit USRA Nationals down at Lucas Oil Speedway. A good show up of cars. They had a lot of cars down there, didn't they, bud?
Yeah, almost 300 for the week right there. So it was pretty stellar turnout, and just a. It's a wild event, man. Anytime you can set somewhere for a week, it's pretty crazy. Personally, I enjoyed it because my house is 10 minutes from the track, so
right.
that worked out well for me. But a lot of racing, a lot of cars, a lot of laps, a lot of things right there.
Yeah. So let's talk about the. The USRA modifieds, Tyler Wolf, he picked up the win, right?
Yeah, he did. And he was the dominant car all week long. And, he won a qualifier, and just had all kinds of success. And you know, that's kind of what you'd expect. He's a full-time USMTS car, but he runs a little different schedule than a lot of those full-time cars. Cause he picks and chooses around, you know, if USMTS is off, a lot of times he's picking between Tri-State, Saline, Oklahoma, and Wheatland to go run. He races a lot. And he'd been to Wheatland multiple times prior this season, even aside from the USMTS race in August. So I don't think anybody was probably shocked. He's rolled along really well this year. And to be honest with you, man, on the USMTS off weekend, that's what those guys need to go do, is they need to go win. Brandon Givens, another full-time car, showed himself really well this year. The stock car ranks, Dylan Thornton, he won every race. He was on the racetrack all week long in the stock cars, running Rook for Rookie of the Year with the USMTS. And it's interesting, the parallels, you know, even though it wasn't a USMTS race, but those guys had showed up and really showed out, you know, and a lot of them are benefiting from a year's worth of really hard racing out on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's talk about the USRA B mods. Ryan Gilmore picks up the win there. Tell me a little bit more about Ryan.
Yeah, so Ryan was a guy. He started out as a track photographer at Springfield Raceway. You remember that?
I don't remember
all
that.
All those years ago.
I don't remember that.
So for several years, then he ran some go kart stuff, just kind of like mess around go kart stuff, and then some go kart races and. he got competitive there. And then he got in a Midwest mod, and he won right away. And then he got a chance to get in a B mod and won right away. He's raced a modified a little bit. He's raced a cash money late model a little bit, too. He swapped from Jerry Hoffman's stuff to Scotty Allen's cars this year. Ryan's a former USRA national champion. Man, he's just a great racer. He won up in Lakeside. He won the B-Mod race of the Grant Young Hands Memorial back in August. Huge win. And he's won a lot of races over the years. And I think pound for pound, the most competition at the USRA Nationals is in that B-Mod division. You know, Gilmore won right there at the end, but there were several of the racers that competed and had success throughout the course of that week. And they turned out pretty good numbers to support the race. So their division really was pretty exciting all week long.
I saw that Mr. Allen is part of your broadcasting crew now.
Well, we kind of moonlighted a little bit. He did a really good job. He's slowing down his personal racing a little bit, at least for a little bit here. And he called me and he said, "Man," he said, "I'm not ready to back down," is what he called. And it was real, and I appreciated him calling. He said, "I've always wanted to do this." He said, "The timing just was never right." He said, "Because I always had my head in other places." And you know, he had several B-Mods and stock cars there that competed as well and had a lot of customers and stuff to take care of too. So it wasn't he wasn't full time with us, but he did pre-race stuff in the pits. We did intermission most nights on the racetrack. He did about 10 minutes with me with a headset on in the booth prior to the races getting started every night. And you know, what was cool, Scott, was he was asking for feedback every time. And what was so neat about having, you know, Corey Riggs and Shane Freebie there was they've both done a ton of TV on streaming television and terrestrial television of sports over the years, a lot of them at a high level. And so Scotty was not only able to get feedback from myself, but Corey and Shane were talking too, and they talked to him a little bit, and then they told me some stuff with him, and it was really neat. And they interacted with him so well from the broadcast booth, and they knew they had, like, the pressure that he felt, right, and tried to make him feel as comfortable as possible. And he did a terrific job. It was really a lot of fun, and in a lot of ways, I kind of feel like one of the highlights of what we were able to accomplish. You know, it's funny because he looked at me like, "Do I sound too hillbilly?" And I said, "No, just a little bit though." But I said, "That's you." I said, "Don't lose you in all this." I just got three or four specific little things. I said, "It's just procedural when you're standing on camera." And I said, "Once we get those lined out," I said, "it'll look like you've done this forever." And you know what, Scott, from Tuesday till Saturday, he made all the corrections and was really, really good. And you know this too, just in everything you've done. What's the value in somebody that's put 30, 40 years into something that you don't have to teach the sport to? Like we were all learning things, you know, listening to him. And that to me was what was the most special about it all.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I want to talk a little bit about the USRA stock cars that raced there. Dylan Thornton picked up the win there. Talk about that a little bit. Track conditions seem to be pretty good because we saw some guys work their way through the field in that stock car division.
Yeah, and the stock cars they've come out in droves, and it's a great weekly division, and that's no BS, man. They're competitive top to bottom. It showed this week, and Thornton was a full time USMTS Rookie of the Year car, and he just ran a stock car this week and didn't run his modified. He said he was kind of set up on his modified. He had enough stuff left for three more races here to finish out the USMTS year, and he said, "Man, I don't want to go buy a drum of fuel and let it sit three quarters full, you know, for all winter." He said, "I'll just get it when we get around to it next year." So he ran his stock car all week, and he won every time he was on the racetrack. He won the Summit Shootout race. He won the qualifying night features. He won the main event. He went with the boys in the broadcast booth on Friday because he was off. And he said, "Man, I'd like to go in the booth with those guys for some of those early races." And they brought him in the broadcast booth and had him kind of color commentate a little bit, which was cool too. He's 21 years old. He's out of Santa Maria, California, but he lives in central Iowa right now. And he's racing for Sean Ritter, just a great guy in our sports. So they had a lot of fun, and Dylan was really rolling this weekend.
Yeah. Before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up on racingdirt.com. I know that you guys are going to be up in Mason City, Iowa on the 14th. Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes, yeah, the five-star classic. And this is a race that, you know, it's weird. You're getting awful north to still be racing this time of year, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of one of them that gets put on the schedule. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. The weather looks good, like it will happen this year. So we're excited to get up there. That's a great racetrack. They've worked so hard on that. Todd and Ryan have the lease on that place, and that thing's really ready for prime time. And we've had some great shows there this year. It's an easy place to work for. Mason City's a cool town. Just looking forward to that one. We got the Spooker coming up the week after down at Tri-State, which gets just a gob of cars every year. 3 weeks away, Scotty T, the USMTS Championship weekend. It's going to start at Tri-State, go to Lakeside, and wrap up 81 Speedway in Wichita. And then there's a sneaky little Sunday night race on Halloween weekend, the night after Wichita at Humboldt, because that's the final night for USRE points. And that's a little bit different in this part of the country to be able to throw one in right there at the very end. So we might. It's conceivable, and we've got a lot of racing left to do to figure it out, but it could come right down to the very final race on some of these divisions for national championships. So that's pretty much what gets us through the month of October. And, you know, of course, this time of year, you just keep your fingers crossed that the rain holds off and you can get them in.
Well, this Friday, you're going to have OCRS at Red Dirt Raceway, too. Talk about that a little bit. The OCRS is a very good, solid series, isn't it?
It is, and it's been really enjoyable. And Michael and Cordell have really taken the bull by the horns on that one this year. I love that track at Red Dirt Raceway. It's tentatively on the USMTS schedule for next year that has not been released for a three-day event. So we'll see if that all comes to fruition. But it's all tentatively been agreed on at this time. So I really, really, really like that racetrack. And OCRS goes really good there, as does about everything. I mean, that place is awesome. So, that's coming up here this weekend, too.
Well, Trenton, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports today. Good luck to you with your future broadcasts that you're going to be doing. You can find out everything that you want to see on Racing Dirt at racingdirt.com.
Hey.
Go check it out. Yes, sir.
Hey, before you run me off here.
Yeah.
Thanks for always calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, not a problem. Hey, you know, we talk mostly about sprint car, open wheel racing, and late models here, but we're not going to forget our friends over at racingdirt.com. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, and I'm sorry. I was just wide tied up all over the place there on Friday. So I'm sorry I couldn't make that one happen.
Not a problem at all, bud. We'll always have you on here. Appreciate you. Thank you, Trenton.
Thanks.
All right. Yep. There you have it. Trenton Berry from racingdirt.com. Some good stuff over there. Those guys do a lot of great broadcasting. They do a really good job at what they do. So check them out. Again, it's at racingdirt.com. Trenton Berry, Austin Kruger, two of the guys that own Racing Dirt, used to work at Racing Boys. They worked for us for about 4 years, and they always do a great job at what they do. Austin, anything? Did you take anything out of that Brad Sweet interview? What did you pull from that interview with Brad Sweet? Anything?
I mean, it was a good interview.
Yeah. What did you feel like he said anything that resonated? What do you feel like? I feel like that he was pretty open about where we're at in when it comes to promoting racetracks right there. I thought that was very intriguing myself.
Yeah, he just it was good to see what he had to say about that, because he knows firsthand on what it's like for the driver's side and what it's like for him being a promoter with now the High Limit Series and Chico with Copeland and Larson being his partners in that deal. And I think the best part of the interview was what he had to say about 360 racing and that it's not what it was when he won, you know, short track back in 2010. And yeah, I mean, he's spot on about it being just as expensive as 410 racing. I mean, we're now the motors are
comparable.
Yeah, I mean, they're a couple $1,000, you know, cheaper, but, you know, we're still buying the same parts, we're still buying the same tires, and and we're not racing for any more money.
Yeah, no
doubt.
It's
finally good to have somebody, you know, with that caliber, you know, say that, and it's, and he has the facts to back it up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, appreciate you, Austin. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have Steve Post on with us. He's going to join us. It's Wednesday. We have Steve Post on every Wednesday. We hope that he'll join us tomorrow. Sometimes he has to travel on Wednesdays. We hope tomorrow isn't one of those days. So stay tuned for more of Mostly Motorsports tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Both Track Talk on Saturday mornings and Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.